Sometimes in life, we encounter people who teach us things we never knew we needed to learn, who offer a perspective that forces us to reevaluate our outlook, and who humble us with their innate wisdom and kindness. Sometimes, though, we also meet people who offer us none of these things. Ladies and gentlemen, Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Yeah, I'm Tom Shanklin.
All right, mate?
Yeah, you all right?
Let's be up front with our listeners from the start. We've got a guest, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
We know that. Tell them about him.
Well, we've been at Park Scarlett's.
Park Ooscarlett's.
And we're here right now, actually, in Box 9. The pitch is looking lovely.
Mm.
Good luck to them on the weekend.
Good luck, boys.
Yeah, they've got Leinster in a
semi-final
playoff.
They're screwed, but yeah, okay.
And we've been interviewing Phil Bennett, OBE. For doing some stuff with the BBC called Lion's Tales, but Tails is spelt T-A-I-L-S.
Hang on a minute. I didn't know it's called Lion's Tales.
Well,
it's genius.
Officially it's not, but we're not sure yet.
Okay. Anyway, our guest, yes.
Yeah, so we brought JP with us.
Yeah. James Pontin, JP from the BBC, our producer for these. We like to call them the series of Flats and Shanks videos, but everyone else calls them some BBC videos.
People just call them podcasts. They don't know what podcast means, do they?
No.
So I watched your podcast on the BBC.
So true. That's so true. We say it all the time. I love your podcast.
Yeah.
The one with the lions. You're like, yeah, that's envisioned, buddy.
Yeah. JP, how are you?
I'm very well. Can I apologise first off because you've given me this big build up and everyone was expecting Phil Bennett to come.
That's true, actually. Yeah. That's true. You're a great guy, but you're not Phil Bennett.
I can't even clean his boots.
No. So we've been doing this interview with Phil Bennett and JP comes and it's on days like this you know kind of what the budget or what the sort of infrastructure behind the day is when you turn up and someone's got one camera and you're like, we're gonna have to do every conversation five times from every angle. But when JP turns up with three cameras, you think,
well, you
this
say
could
that,
just flow.
He had two video cameras on you and Phil Bennett, OBE, and he had like a Canon IXUS. On me.
No, they
only
can do all
best,
sorts of stuff.
Only the best.
And he had an iPhone on you, an iPhone 4. But how did you feel? We did a 45-minute interview with Phil Bennett, who is just an absolute legend.
On his experiences with the Lions, on the 73, on the 77.
Yeah, but I want brutal honesty, JP. I want you to know how. I want to know.
Sorry, 74 and 77.
I want to know, in your vast experience of these things, what was it like?
I've been lucky enough to speak to a lot of famous people, film with them, interview them.
Always practice this.
And I would like to thank.
BAFTA award. No. I was completely engaged and absorbed by the way that he spoke to you. It was just so refreshing to hear old school honesty about his experiences. I don't want to offend you guys, but you're a modern rugby players. A bit
elite.
Pampered.
Elite.
A bit pampered. You're used to everything.
Still hard,
you do.
But still hard, but looked after. Yeah.
A bit pampered, as
hard,
I said.
Yeah.
But here's a guy that has done everything, is regarded as one of the best, yet his humility when he spoke to you was phenomenal.
Yeah. I know. I mean, we don't want to tell you too much about it because it's going to be available to download on the BBC website soon, and we'd hopefully try and get a copy.
We might even try it once it's out on the BBC website. We might try and JP might, I don't know how you do these things, rip and burn the audio, but we might drop it as
is that
kind
a technical
of,
term?
Yeah,
rip and burn.
No, it's ripping and a tearing.
Ripping and a tearing. That's that weird guy from Ibiza.
Yeah. Or hedonism.
But we're going to get a copy of the audio and hopefully kind of get my terminology here, drop that as like an extra podcast.
Yeah, certainly.
Because it was. Like, you know,
we were asking about, you know, how we found out about getting selected for the Lions, you know, the sort of kit that they were given.
Well, go on, tell that story, because I couldn't believe that. Say what happened there.
On the kit, so when they basically, you don't get any kit, you fly out without a tracksuit, they got nothing, they take everything themselves.
They train in their own random kit, you know.
Yeah,
they bring
a training kit from home.
Club. Yeah.
And you get, obviously, Lions kit for the games, but they take it straight back off you. But then he was saying one of the Irish lads, went out with one training jersey. He just didn't think and thought, I'll just take one. The weather will be nice.
I automatically thought.
And he stank.
Trying to save a bit of money. Didn't want to check in any luggage.
Excess
in
baggage.
The hold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it on the plane. Carry on.
But they were away for 4 months, remember, on those Lion tours. It's not that, I mean, we think that these Lion tours are long and they're arduous and they're terribly, you know, unforgiving. 4 months!
Yeah,
I know. I mean, the benefit of that is you probably only have to ring home once.
Yeah, not like these days.
Once a week.
Not FaceTime on free hotel Wi-Fi, is it, every day? Yeah. How you doing? All right.
Yeah.
How's training? All right. What time are you up? Kids have me up at 5. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You can just actually, you know. No, you'd miss them though, yeah? So anyway, JP, how did you enjoy the hour chat with Phil Bennett?
It was really good. Yeah, it was really good. And I encourage you to all watch it. You two were okay. You sort of knew your
stuff. We didn't say a lot, really.
But isn't that a sign of a good interview?
Mm.
That you asked a question and Phil was just so free with his information with you. It was really good. Excellent interview, and it'll definitely...
Can you get us a gig on TV? Or me a gig, because I just do online stuff.
Well, you know, not in my pay scale, but let's just say someone will have you on camera.
Could be SMTV, can it?
What's SMTV?
It's where I'm debt started.
Is it?
Yeah.
They've done all right. I remember Loaded Magazine had their own TV channel. They had a crazy foreign...
What's Loaded Magazine, mate? The gun magazine?
Absolutely not. It's one of those lad mags. And it was like girls, you know...
Yeah, I know, mate.
Okay, here are my big fake boobs. And inside you can read about the latest iPad, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
Quite good fun, but beneath me, because I'm a literary giant.
So, but while you listen to this as well, something else would have dropped, and that would be the Robert Walters interview. Flats Eye and Richard Hill did with Finding the Ultimate Fan. We've talked about this before, because we had to explain where we were. But... it's very hard to explain that video without actually seeing it. And I'm sure most of you listeners now have seen it because we've posted it all over our Twitter page and Facebook page. But I've had so many people ring me up saying that is amazing. And it's not... Flats and I don't make it amazing. It's the winner. His name's...
Steve.
Yeah, Stuart. But we call him Steve all the way through it.
Just to be awkward.
It's his team talk that he gives right at the end. And we're not expecting it. It's not fixed. It's not staged. He doesn't know what's coming. And he just nails this unbelievable minute team talk. But the thing that gets me is he starts off shouting into the camera. So he's not looking at us. He's talking to the camera. And then he just throws in, "We've got those bastards," like that. and I've gone. And then Stuart
at the back, "Don't you kick that ball, mate." You know, it's like, oh, it's just... Anyway... JP, have you watched it?
I have watched it. In fact, Shanks, you sent it to me, and I didn't know what to expect. Didn't know what to expect, and I was in tears because he gets so emotional, and his face is going red, then puce, and you think he's going to explode here.
Yeah,
and to be able to get that emotion straight off.
And the worst thing is, like, we're trying to play deadpan, so we're looking at him, and we don't want to laugh, we don't want to show any emotion.
Oh, you were gone.
I could not help it, and. Mate, when I turned around, I sort of look out the corner of my eye and I see you and you're facing the wall.
Yeah, I couldn't look anywhere. I was dying in there. But I didn't know till I saw the video. We got sent like a rough cut. I didn't know until I saw that rough cut that Hilly had cracked as well. Because Hilly's like, he said on Twitter, this was right out of my comfort zone, but I really enjoyed it. He was awesome. Like, he was properly straight, like a head teacher.
He kept it going for us, didn't
he? And without him, we would not have been able to do it. We would have fallen apart and had to say, look, mate, it's a sham, and given everyone their day back.
He goes, when I say to the guy, he takes all his clothes off to put his Lion shirt on. I said, oh, mate, over your shirt would have done.
Yeah, once he's got his shirt off, he's like, oh, sorry. Oh, it's just... But, anyway, go and watch it, because we... You know, it's done really well, and it's gone... They're really, really happy with the number of people that have seen or whatever, and there is no extra benefit to me, Shanks, or Hilly if you're going to watch it now, but just do it, because it's actually really funny.
Oh, it's good fun, yeah.
I had a text to one of the commercial guys at Wasp yesterday saying the boys are in the change room, they love it. We got here to Scarlett's today, and Stephen Jones said, you know, the coach, ex-Wales fly half, said, oh, the boys have been watching it. We're trying to prepare for a semi-final and they're all laughing around that video. And
he's got grey hair now, Stephen Jones. I never, ever thought he'd have grey hair.
The Count.
Yeah. I didn't think Dracula's could get grey hair.
Yeah, there you go. I also went to Leicester Tigers yesterday and...
Watch out,
the training ground at Oval Park, and they said that, and everyone was coming up saying that video, priceless. And it's one of those things that when we got the idea, I was a little bit like, I don't know about that, but it was... Oh, it was class.
Can I give you another reason to watch it?
Mm.
Can I compliment you on the collar of your jacket?
Oh, you like it?
It's different.
Bit of velvet atop the tweed.
It was. I've not seen a velvet tweed combo pulled off, really.
There's a reason for that.
I'm not sure you did it, but well done for wearing it.
Oh, thanks.
The Cheltenham Classic, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. It's
nothing nice. Wrong with a bit of tweed for a 30-year-old, mate. It's fine. I'll probably find tweed later on in life.
I'm 37.
Like 50.
And you are 37 and you dress like a teenager. You're just missing a backwards cap and a skateboard.
That's what Beckham dresses, mate.
Yeah, he dresses like a teenager.
Don't have a go at him.
Dressed like a teenager.
I'm street. I'm one of those hip dads at school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do street dance with my kids.
Yeah.
Have you got a tweed jacket?
Of course, yes. I didn't know the word tweed until I met Flats. So.
How many tweed jackets do you have?
I've got a couple of tweed jackets.
How many?
10.
Not 10.
12.
And cords.
5 or 6. I've got a lot of cords. Yeah.
Do you have anything? Do you have like high top boots?
I've got some high top trainers.
He didn't want to admit that, did he?
I've got some high top trainers.
High top, not high tech.
Oh. Do you know what I bought last week? I actually went. I needed some.
Have you been looking at Gavin Henson again? Have you buying his outfit?
No, yeah, I have. Yes, I'll tell you about it now. JP, for your benefit, we did it. On the day we did the video with you. So JP's the guy that did. Anyone who's seen Shanks and my video in Bath at the Taylor's with Gavin Henson, that's JP that made that. And Gav just turned up in all black, no effort at all, but looked amazing.
Looked good.
Yeah. Looked so good. So Shanks and I made a bit of a joke, and I think I'm the only one who's followed it up. I bought like black t-shirt, I bought black jeans. I had to have them altered because I've got a 42-inch waist and 31-inch inside leg. And had them altered, done. They're amazing. They look average.
And the jacket as well.
And I bought some black trainers, but they just didn't quite work for me. So I bought another pair of like. I had to buy some running trainers last week.
You've also got the calves of an elephant.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So like, thing is, if I wear like more fitted trousers than normal, I sit down and you know your trousers ride up so you can see your socks. When I stand up, my calves are so big that my trousers are 6 inches above my shoes.
Yeah, so you've got to pull them down all the time.
Well, I did rugby tonight last week and didn't think about it. And you stand up off the stools or the chair and you walk over and I'm like walking along and I've got the heel of my foot kicking my trousers down on each side. I was like, oh God. But unfortunately, I've got 22-inch calves and I don't even do any work on them. I was just born like that.
Unfortunately, your body's a mess.
Unfortunately, I've got great calves. Mm. But anyway, what the frig are we talking about? I bought some, and you can go on the little Nike website and you can design your own trainers.
Customization.
So I was like, well, I'll just get all black. And I was like, I'll get all black with the blacks because I'll be like Gav. Mm. So I've got them coming. They're coming.
So normally on the SJP, we ask like what we've been up to for the last sort of few days. What have you been up to? What did you do at the weekend?
On the weekend, I did a bit of family time, bit of golf.
Okay.
Box ticked.
Yeah, brownie points. Got to earn them.
Had to.
Yeah, had to. Yeah. Forced to. And then obviously I was very diligent and I planned our filming today.
Yes.
No, yeah. I didn't. I just rocked on that. But
That's how we roll.
I know we've been working hard on this, and we're forced to do a bit of prep. And,
well, you're working with professionals, mate. So.
Yeah, you got that 28-page document I sent you then with questions. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I had a book opened, and that was about it.
Just like Shanks prep for this podcast today, nothing.
Complacent. I'm impressed. For those of you that might just listen to this podcast, of which I'm one gentleman. I was envisaging maybe, you know, wonderful studios. Mm. Maybe you've got a couple of people mixing the audio.
Yeah, not DJs.
Well, hang on a minute.
Yeah. We get a lot of complaints about our sound audio. Quality.
Hopefully the sound's better this week. I can't be dealing with all the tweets last week.
Well, yeah, but you only got yourself to blame, mate. You're the technician.
Yeah, true. I'm the roadie.
We get a lot of complaints about the sound quality because it's a bit shit, but... It's that balance, isn't it? And
I mean, to start with, I'm looking at your mic, mate, and all you've got the popper half over your mic.
Oh yeah, it's like metal in the way.
Yeah, so
I lift it up like that.
Yeah,
is that better? I don't know. It's just like it's a balance to all of our listeners. We don't want to overly commercialise it. Not that people are queuing up to clear our mortgages with advertising on our podcast, but it's never
been a big there are some cracking Land Rover deals going on right
now. But just, anyway, you know. we do this for fun, and if being frank about it, if you can make a few quid along the way, fine, but we've had a few offers that we've said respectfully no to, because it's not all about that, and actually if you want us to do all this stuff, we don't mind if you don't want to pay us what we want. That's, we'll just keep doing it, but we want to cover our costs.
Yeah, Advanced Hair Studio can do one.
Yeah, exactly. Up yours. Vegan Monthly. But then we could invest loads more in equipment, a mobile studio, whatever it is.
You've got plaits in your wires.
I know, but then we just don't want massive overheads, because then we're going to have to start selling ourselves to stuff people we don't want to sell ourselves to, and for money we don't want from it. So it's difficult. So the sound is a bit shit. We could make it better, but we would then have to massively commercialise our podcast, and we can't be arsed, really.
But if Sony's listening, you will accept a new...
Yeah, but if it's like, oh, Land Rover are like, we know you've got a car. Does your wife need one? Yes, I will mention you. Yes, I will.
Mm. Can I have a car before your wife?
And can I have one as well?
I asked them, and they said, Tim who? No, I don't know. No, I don't. I'll sort you out, lads. I'll sort you out.
Flats, what have you been up to? Do you remember?
A few things. I tell you...
You did a good interview, or you said you did a good... Or the interview will be good with Ellis Genge.
Yeah. Well, that was yesterday, so today is Wednesday. And last Friday, I spoke at a rugby club dinner, and we do this sort of thing a lot, and they're almost invariably really good fun. And I went to a club called Whitney in Oxfordshire. And it's one of those things that just pops up in my diary because Michelle has just booked it, and you think, great. And you turn up, and it was just so good. And I drove because I knackered my back last week, and I told you about. And I just wanted to not drink, and I wanted to take care of myself, and I was on medication and stuff. So I didn't stay over, and I genuinely regret it because it was just a wicked crack. And they were sending pictures the next day at 6 a.m. still boozing in the clubhouse.
Lads.
It was brilliant. Lasses. But on Tuesday, so being yesterday, I went to Leicester Tigers training ground and did an interview for BT Sport with Ellis Genge. That's on tonight, rugby tonight being Wednesday night, and I emailed BT myself all on my own a few weeks ago, and I said I want to do a feature. I want to go to Leicester Tigers, and I want to interview Ellis Genge because I think he's brilliant and I think he's different, and there aren't enough real, you know, there are lots of characters in the game, but there's too much effort is put into suppressing them and keeping them straight, and I said I want to go and find out about this guy before he gets told not to tell anybody anything. And he was great. He was really
brutally honest.
He was really, really engaging. I arrived there thinking, I bet I really like him, and I left thinking, if I was running a rugby club, he would be the guy I would sign. And off the record, I had an off the record chat with Matt O'Connor, their director of rugby, and this is he won't mind me saying this because it's all positive.
But don't say anything, peeps.
No, don't say anything, anyone.
Shh,
mum. But we were talking about Ellis Genge, and I said, what do you think you've got there? What do you make of him? And he said, well, I turned up and was made pretty aware that he is can be a bit of a handful. Not like his behaviour's fine and stuff, but I think his behaviour, he's a scrapper, and he's hard, and he doesn't muck about, and he doesn't take, and you know, he's not into politeness for politeness sake. He's a lovely bloke, but if he thinks you're a dick, he'll tell you and he'll chin you, kind of thing. And he said it a week in, this is one of the best blokes we've got. This is a bloke you keep, full stop.
Yeah, he's a keeper.
He's a keeper. And I just thought it was brilliant. So if you get a chance to watch it tonight or whatever, or some other time, then fill your boots. But I really, really enjoyed it. I got in the car kind of buzzing a little bit, thinking I love that. Like I will today after our Phil Bennett chat, I'm properly buzzing after that. I loved it.
Did you go to Edinburgh?
No.
Okay.
No, so I'm not, that's all BT Sport, and I do loads of BT Sport, but I'm not contracted with BT Sport. I'm contracted for the highlight show.
Yes.
So I don't have a BT contract, so they use the core.
So you're working this weekend with ITV4?
Yeah, I'm at the semi-final, Wasp Leicester.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're still doing your stuff with Channel 4, Embarrassing Bodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm on there this week, doing me a little... Got me bits on there, and
the thing is, though,
I just want help, mate.
Yeah, but you get free treatment.
I want help.
So
yeah, and you
swallow your pride.
£250 plus VAT to go on Embarrassing Bodies. Oh, you get paid to show everyone
everyone what you had for dinner and get it sorted.
Yeah,
yeah.
Here's me breakfast. Give us a hand.
It's a quick fit fitness.
Yeah, the nipple story though.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm all right with the nipple. It's where it is. Shanks, what have you been up to?
A couple of things, really, mate. Did something with Peter Winterbottom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Next back row for
so did something with.
Bit of a Q&A in London on Wednesday.
You sound like Lee Byrne. With Q&A.
Professional Q&A, that's what Byrne is.
Yeah.
Lee Byrne, not to his face. That's what we call him. He's so brown.
I get it.
But I tell you what was really interesting. I went to a networking gig. One of the mates has got a telecommunications company, TWL. And he did a bit of a networking event, and Richard Parkes spoke at it. So Richard Parkes did...
Parksy, I call him.
Yeah, Richard Parkes did the 7 summits, 3 poles in 7 months. And it was incredible listening to him. And and his stories about him and how he coped with it and the mental strength that it took. So that was really, really interesting. He's got a book out as well, so I think that's been out for a couple of years, but I'm definitely going to read it.
Peak Performance. What is it? I don't know. Yeah. Peak something.
Yeah.
Peaks and Troughs.
Twin Peaks.
Twin.
Yeah, but it was really, really good. Good chat. He did sort of 40, 50 minutes on what it took to become that person, how mentally tough it was. So I did that. But I also did something with Ollie Phillips at Price Waterhouse Cooper on Friday.
Oh, with Justin Harrison.
Yeah. So
yeah,
Andy Powell was meant to go, and he texted me a week before saying, "Are you going?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm going. I'm getting the 8:25 train from Cardiff." And Powell's like, "Oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go. You know, no one's getting paid and stuff like that." I was like, "All right, mate, it's entirely up to you. But I'm getting the 8:25 train." Heard nothing from him for a week. Get on the train in Cardiff, 8:25. Pull into Newport. I'm there on my own. Pull into Newport. 50 minutes later, just sat there reading the paper. I got my iPad, I got a book, I got loads of stuff.
Lovely journey.
Loads of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Computer, a bit of work. And all of a sudden, this guy just comes to my seat, face right in front of mine, goes, "How's it going, buddy?" Right there.
All right, Shank.
It was, yeah, Shank. He calls me Shank. He don't even call me Shanks.
All right, Shank.
So he turned up and I made my trip.
Yeah,
hell of a point. Real good value. And we get there, and I was a little bit annoyed really because Ollie Phillips said we were going on a boat along the Thames, and we get there. There's a lovely looking boat on the Thames, and we get on a barge behind it.
Oh,
so it's, yeah. It's literally
not you. Like, love the one behind you.
It's literally like someone's barge, you know, going down like Bradford on Avon.
What, Rosie and Jim style?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly that. Rosie and Jim were washing up with Barney the dog, mate. And he was adamant as well. I had so many, you know, texts to say, "The boat is leaving at 12:30. Do not be late. Do not be late. It'll be gone without you." And it didn't leave till 12:45.
Oh.
So that pissed me off. Because, you know, I could...
And then you thought you had to do all the locks as well, didn't you?
Way up here for nothing and we're leaving lit.
Could have done 2 pints or a bleep test or something like that in 15 minutes, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah. So that was good. But Pauly was really good. He told his golf buggy story and it's brilliant. Justin Harrison was funny as well, really funny. Oh. Looks like a pregnant snake.
Can you describe a pregnant snake
long
for me,
long with a bulge
please?
In the middle.
Yeah, really long. Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that.
Or like a python that swallowed a deer.
So we had a bit of chat back and forth. I don't know who came out on top, but I'm just, there's blood on his face. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Really funny.
JP, we get a lot of feedback via email, Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. And a chap called Guy Evans has emailed in, and we like constructive feedback. I mean, stuff like the sound quality, if it's particularly bad, tell us. But otherwise, you know, to a point, when we know it's shit. So it's kind of, you're sort of wasting your thumb skin a little bit. But Guy Evans, perfectly reasonably, says, "Hi guys, big fan of the show, but unfortunately, when discussing rugby podcast with friends, we're pretty much unanimous in thinking that too much time is devoted to your on-air catch-up at the start of each pod, especially when you sometimes rush through rugby matters at the end. I really respect your opinions on the game and would like to hear more of that, please." Oh. As a listener, JP, I would like to know, honestly, what you reckon. Do you think we spend too much time dicking around at the start?
Are we about 18 minutes into your podcast?
Yeah, we're half an hour already, mate. Yeah,
23.
What was the chap's name?
Guy Evans.
Guy Evans, you're wrong.
Oh, there you go. You disagree with that. Okay.
Disagree.
Well, there's not actually that much rugby to talk about this week.
Well, week, but other weeks there is, and we do just spin through it.
But basically,
Well, what does Guy want? 58 minutes of rugby?
We'd quite like to hear your thoughts on it and whether you think we spend too long on the intros, because I'm actually quite interested in what you get up to, and I like to think that you're interested while I get up to, just so you know I'm not around your sister or something. Oh. You know, but she does like me. She does like me.
Your sister texted me last week.
It's
not a joke. After Robert Walters' video came out, sent me a text.
What I forgot to mention, actually, is I've also went shooting this week with Mark Adams from TPS. They do some graphic printing and stuff, and Neil Back, who works for them. Me and Bubs took them on in Bedford.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Bubs never shot a gun. Bubs never shot a gun. He was in the army.
He's more a stabber, wasn't he? Oh,
when you say he's like a medic in the army or an engineer. Yeah. He wasn't in the army.
Chef.
Yeah. No, I'm only joking. He, was a, he was in the army, some shape or form. We don't know what.
Yeah.
Definitely not PT. And we took him on clay pigeon shooting, and we won. So,
yeah, well, mate.
That there's
Mackie wouldn't have liked that.
No, he didn't.
No, he actually wouldn't like
that. And you know, he turned up with their own guns and everything. Like, must be down.
Mackie had turned up full tweed, lovely motor, nice gun.
Yeah, he was. He was on good form.
Yeah.
But you know, Mark Adams, who's the MD of TPS, he turned up with 4 hours sleep because he'd been in Edinburgh all weekend.
Good boy.
He's a pod listener, so sorry, Mark.
Good boy. I tell you, I had dinner in Bath at this new hotel restaurant called Number 15. Really, really nice. The other night, with all the guys from the senior management from Tarmac UK.
What's the address of it?
It's Number 15. Yeah. Great Pulteney Street. And all the guys from Tarmac.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I always thought Tarmac, I've known for a couple of years, these guys, but I always thought Tarmac was a thing that lots of different companies said, but actually Tarmac is a brand. It's like
Hoover.
It's like Tannoy. It's not a Tannoy, it's a PA system, unless it's a Tannoy. Like
it's Hoover. A public address system.
Public address system. Yeah. Anyway, they were great value, and they were all loads of them bang into their cars. So I went there with Matt Powell, ex-Worcester Warriors, and he sort of introduced me to everyone, and straight away there was some... they were looking at photos of cars on their phones. Oh, and I was like, oh, what are you looking at? Pauly was like, oh, man. And half an hour later, he's like, right, let's go through to dinner from the bar. He's like, can we please stop the car chat? This is breaking me. Anyway, Guy Evans, you think our warm-ups, our catch-ups are a good part, an important part of the pod, do you?
If you want a run-of-the-mill podcast, go and listen to the others. This is where you get something extra, a bit different.
Yeah.
Where do I sign the check?
And yeah, there you go. There's 40p for you.
Thanks.
It's an interesting one, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, we don't know a lot about podcasts, evidently. You will know more, JP, from being in the media. But one thing I read a while ago was that people catch up with your podcast late. So it's word of mouth and whatever it is, or social media, whatever. So what often happens is, and the reason it stuck with me is it reflects exactly how I listen to podcasts. Somebody will recommend one. I'll join in and listen to it, and if I really like it, I'll go back and listen to old ones. Mm. So a big part of podcasts' listener numbers, we're not obsessed with that, but we're mindful of it, even though I couldn't tell you how many people listen, we're mindful of it, is that if someone goes back 6 weeks and it's 40 minutes on rugby results, then 2/3 of our podcast is completely irrelevant. So there is a balance. We do want to talk about rugby, but there is a balance, and we don't want people to come to our podcast and get something they can get in 20 other locations in the media. So there is a balance there, Guy, and I see what you're saying, but
yeah. It's
we don't want to make it too irrelevant. We want people to be able to go back 3 months and listen to a pod and almost be able to skip through the rugby chapter because it's old news.
What sort of name is Guy as well? Flats, I mentioned a podcast to you last week, They Walk Among Us.
Yeah.
And I found it very interesting. And we mentioned last week about various murders and crimes that have got on. Not the biggest fan, were you?
Well, I'm a fan and I'm quite big. Probably a bigger fan than me. They Walk Among Us, interesting pod. I have listened to a couple. And what he effectively does is, this chap, or this podcast, is he describes true crimes.
Yeah.
So what a pod like Serial, that's the most successful pod ever, and a lot of these other, and Untold, Daniel Morgan Murder, brilliant pod, have just done an update, which I'm about to listen to on the way home. They actually investigate, and they go further, and they search for the truth. They're not detectives, they're journalists, but they search for the truth. This guy, effectively, it's a version of reading out Wikipedia, effectively. He actually just reads the fact that actually you go and find out yourself. Doesn't take it any further.
They're 30 minute episode, so yeah. There's only a certain amount of time they got.
Yeah, fine. But I'm just saying, I think I prefer the longer form where they actually dig in a little bit. Okay. But also, it's the way I write columns and stuff, and that doesn't mean that I'm super clever. Every single column I've ever written, and any column anybody ever writes, should always be, and mine always have been, proofread by someone else. So okay. The sub-editors, the editors, they proofread them because there's a reason proofreading is a job. Editing is a job. You cannot proofread your own stuff. You don't see your own mistakes because you're running through it in your own mind like you were when you made the mistake. So everything is read by someone else, and the odd and the and I and she that you missed out is corrected, ideally. So, because everybody makes mistakes, everybody. Yeah. And this
cook, cock.
Exactly it. Yeah. Exactly it. So
I love to cook.
So What bugged me about They Walk Among Us is, and there's another one called Convicted at the moment, which I'm into, but it's exactly the same. Someone has written it.
Okay, I'm writing
stuff. So what they're doing is, they're not having a chat like we are. They're reading a script. This is a scripted 30-minute pod, and it's structured and it's scripted, and it's great in a lot of ways, but it's written poorly. So there are lots of grammatical mistakes in there that haven't been checked by anybody. And it's stuff like, and then her and her dad got into the car. It's like, no, you know, she and her dad got into the car, you know, sort of thing. It's he and I when it should be him and me, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's kind of, it just bugs me. And it's like, well, I don't care that you're making mistakes. I make mistakes all the time as well. It's just like, why did you not get this checked by somebody neutral and clever? Yeah. It's going out to the whole world, and it's like, her and her dad went for a walk. Like, no, that's not what you say, and it just bugs the shit out of me because I've been lazy, and that ruins the pod for me.
Well, I mean,
struggle now.
I knew all that, all the grammar errors and stuff, but I didn't want to sound like a cunt.
Aha!
Ooh, just threw that one in. No, I know, mate, I know. And I know I bell end, but you asked. And do you see what I'm coming? Can you get past that stuff, JP, or would it bug you as well?
Well, I was just thinking that anyone listening to this and sitting there GCSE English, take note, please. Yeah.
Being picky, a little bit picky.
Yeah, that was maybe a bit too picky for me. Yeah.
But you're in that industry, though, mate, so you write stuff and you're very...
Yeah, but it's like, I love Robbie Savage.
Is it different,
Savage,
though,
you know?
if it's the spoken word, can you get away with it? If you were reading it and you'd go, oh, this doesn't look right.
Yeah, but we're talking now, but we're not scripted. This is a script that's being read. It's structured and it's written, so he's reading.
He does talk very slow as well.
And he tries, and he's like, it was a cold, dark night. It's like, chill out, mate, I'm not 10.
Yes, it's a whistling every time there's
an F. You're taking the piss out of your speech impediment now. That's different.
No, I'm not. It's
technically, that's bullying.
That's bullying.
And you've been nasty now.
You're laughing, you're giggling now, but that's racist.
He's not got a lisp, but what I'm saying is that something to do with the sound could turn the S's down a bit so they don't sound
so
like
you're
that.
Now bitching about sound quality on a podcast. Got it. But no, I see
hypocrite warning.
Guilty. But what I would say is listen to two episodes of They Walk Among Us and then two episodes of Serial, and unfortunately, Serial is on a completely different level, as is S-Town. As is the, the guy who does Untold Daniel Morgan Murder.
Brilliant.
He's got like a bit of a Jonathan Ross R about him. And who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. But it's brilliantly done, brilliantly written. And They Walk Among Us is so poorly written that it breaks me and I can't listen to it.
Okay, there we are.
Oh, by the way, hurts you, doesn't it?
It does hurt me. They're just lazy. It's just lazy. Anyway, it just bugs me. Just don't be lazy. Take an extra half a day and let someone else read it. Before we clock off on our catch up, just want to send, I don't really do shout outs, but I just want to mention my mate Ed Jackson, who I played with at Bath for a couple of years, who's Newport Gwent Dragons now, who dived into a pool a few weeks ago and has broken his neck and he's in hospital. And he's unbelievably positive. And I know, and Jacko might listen to this, but I know a couple of lads that went to see him early and they said he's in a really good frame of mind. I hope that's not a reaction of shock or something. It's not, it's enduring. He's realistic. He's not evangelical, he's realistic, and he's documenting daily his recovery on Instagram. And
it is, I saw the picture.
It is fascinating, and he's doing stuff. It's like they took him to the doctors, took him, the neurosurgeon, whatever, he took him for a shower. And partly because they want to see if he can feel the sensation of water. And he said he could feel water, he couldn't feel if it was hot and cold.
Okay.
Amazing. He can move, he's getting better and better. They also took him, and this is the bit where I lower the tone. And you might think this is inappropriate because he's really badly injured, but I don't care. Two things to lower the tone. One is that another reason I would have followed him into the shower is because Ed Jackson is one of the best put together men I've ever seen.
Okay.
His body's not great, but I'll leave it to your imagination.
Yeah.
A true talent. And also, something else really inappropriate is when I was at Leicester Tigers yesterday, I had a good chat with Freddie Burns on his way back to Bath. Great boy, bit of work to do at Leicester yet. And he was getting into this naughty whip, this naughty 4x4. And I said, hey, nice. He was having a go at my car and saying, oh, tough life in the Range Rover. Then he got into this beautiful Beamer and I was like, oh, yeah, you're struggling. He's like, mate, the worst thing is, this is Ed Jackson's motor. Ed had obviously, he went to see Jacko and Jacko's like, take the car. And I said, you stole his car, mate. Breaks his neck and you nicked his car. You horrible bastard.
Yeah, but big shot got out of Ed.
Big shout. He's a great boy. Yeah. Really, really great boy. And they love him at Dragon's.
Great things.
Yeah. So
Speedy recovery.
Yeah, good luck, brother.
This is the Leo Vegas Bet of the Week. As you all know, Leo Vegas partner us on this podcast, and we get a free bet every week on their website. All the proceeds go towards charity, which is Children in Need. And we've been all right so far. I think we're still up, but we had a poor bet last week, mostly down to me, thinking that Claremont...
Isn't it the two you've overruled me, we've lost?
No, the one I overruled you for last week won.
All right.
That's why I overruled you this week.
Yeah.
So I bet on Claremont to beat Saracens, and as you know, they didn't. So I take full responsibility. So, David...
We just think about... move on smoothly, or you can think about the kids who aren't around the country who aren't being helped because of your arrogance. Anyway... I'll have a go at it this week. I'm going to go with Exeter Saris as the bet, and I want to bracket this with the fact that I used to play for Saracens. I'm in the 100 Club. I got an email this morning. Duncan Taylor and Ben Spencer.
Oh, is that the club?
Both joined the 100 Club, yeah.
Oh, right. I thought it was something else. Sorry, mate.
No, it's it. No, it's not.
I thought it was like Dougie 500.
Are you in it?
No.
No. You're probably quite close to the Welsh one, though. I wasn't that close to the English one. You're in the Welsh 50 Club, mate. Don't worry about it.
70 Club.
70 Club, sorry. 70 what? How many? 70 odd?
70 caps.
Sorry.
I'm chairman, president.
Chairman, president. So I played a lot of games for Saris, but I've also been accused repeatedly on Twitter of being biased towards Exeter Chiefs, even though I never played for them. It's a bit bizarre. But I think the people's choice, and I think this is reasonable to say this, especially as Saris have just won Europe, is Exeter. But I think Saracens are going to go to Chiefs, who've got the best winning run in the history of world sport.
Yeah.
And I think Sarri's going to win by 5 points.
So you're going Saracens...
Saracens by five.
So the bet is Saracens by 5 points or more against Exeter.
Yeah. Sorry to all the Chiefs fans, but I just think Saris are so good. And I think if there's one team on the road that can go somewhere like Chiefs and win, it's them.
And you're quite happy to carry that burden of Children in Need.
Yeah, but I'm a great guy, so if it doesn't go well... I'll probably give 25 quid to Children in Need from an app on my phone after the bet, but you don't worry about it, you don't have to, it's fine.
Right. I should just mention that, you know, if you are betting, go on the website, which is leovegas.com. Mm. And there's Twitter page, which is at leovegasuk. Make sure you're over 18 if you're betting.
Yeah.
Terms and conditions do apply.
And don't bet what you haven't got.
No, just have to do the legals, that's all. So, the two European games at the weekend, we start on the Friday night, Gloucester v Stade.
Gutted I was.
Yeah, I know.
No interest in Stade winning that, all the interest in Gloucester winning it.
Not at all. And you thought after Johnny May's intercept try, mate, he's got some wheels.
Oh my days, he's so quick.
I know.
A good fellow as well, actually. Everyone says he's a bit nuts, and I think they're probably right, but he's a good fellow. And you speak to the guys at Gloucester, and they love him down there.
Do you know what it is a sight, seeing Jonathan Donty running in hand?
Yeah. Fuck that.
Choo choo.
As my old gran used to say, fuck that for a bag of onions. You can stick that straight up your app. No, I would not want to. Obviously I'd take him out. I'd go high and I'd take him out.
God rest their soul.
God, we miss her. So he is quite impressive. Parise, who I might have said on a pod about 6 months ago, I've always secretly thought he's a bit overrated and just looks good because he plays for Italy and everyone loves a hero. I think he's almost better now than he was 5 years ago. He's so good. Mm. And he's so handsome. He just looks so happy, which pisses me off.
It's a shame for Gloucester, but you know they've got to take a lot of heart from reaching the final. So
no, it doesn't work like that.
It is. You take the positives out of it. When you look back, you do. Of course you do. Just because you didn't reach any.
Well, except the one I won. Don't worry about that. 2008.
Just test me, mate. Well,
sorry about that.
But yeah, you do. I mean, when you look back at the season, you'll say, you know, the achievements you've got, reaching the final is an achievement.
You pull the positives out about half an hour after the game, so you've got an excuse to go on the piss.
No, you pull the positives out at the start of the season when you look back at the season, you say, look, it's not all doom and gloom. We reached a final, it was a good achievement.
Mm. Mm.
So,
I was gutted for Gloucester. I really wanted to win. Yeah, I look at some of their boys who played really well, like Hibbard and Moriarty, the obvious ones, but I know like Sharples, just week in, week out, he's just so good. Tom Marshall's been really, really good.
Really good, mate.
Willie Hines has come up, he's been called up to the England squad, apparently. Willie Hines.
Has he?
I mean, I like Willie Hines, he seems like a great man, he's a really, really good player, but I don't get that, Eddie. What's going on there? He got like I think it's bizarre. And not just because he's clearly not English. I mean, lots of guys who play for countries aren't, and it's while it's legal, why not do it? But he's not the next best to come off for me. But anyway.
But then obviously the next day, then you had Clermont Saracens. Oh. What a game.
Oh, I tell you what though, before we talk about the game, Harry Allen, BT Sport producer, Sunset and Vine, BT Sport producer. Search for Harry Allen on Twitter, guys. He's a good fella. He's northern, but he's all right. And
he's a good fella?
He's a good fella. Yeah, he's in the mafia.
Well, like he's been made?
He's a murderer.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a mass murderer. He's a killer. And he tweeted a link of Nick Abenderland's...
Benders.
So Bendy scored that amazing try that Spedding started from the counter-attack.
What a counter-attack.
And just before...
What a try.
Yeah, just before Bendy gets the ball, he overruns the guy inside him down the touchline, and he does this little... like a goose step to slow himself down and then straight back into running, like a sprint drill.
Yeah.
And Harry tweeted, that is a thing of beauty. And I watched it and I was like, oh my God, that is genuinely a beautiful
can
thing.
Can we retweet that if that's a chance so we can see
it? I will do actually.
Okay.
But what did you make of the game?
Great game from start to finish.
Mm.
Saracens, just as always, the last sort of quarter just come away. They've got a team, right? That's, when you look at the Saracens team, yeah, it's got lots of stars, but it's also got players that, you know, aren't the big A-class stars that you see. You know, it's not like a team littered with what people think are world-class players, like a Toulon or something like that. You know, you've got players that just play so well for their club. The likes of, I thought Barrett over the last sort of 3 weeks has just been brilliant.
Fantastic, yeah.
Just getting them over the game line, his tackles. They're a team that don't make many mistakes either. So they don't give away many penalties in the ruck area. Their forwards have all got great set of hands.
Yeah.
So, you know, you throw a pass around by the knees, you know, it's going to be caught.
Yeah, you chuck a minging pass to the George Cruz and it's going to be caught.
He's going
to,
and, you know, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, they got a lot of stick for playing fairly one-dimensional and sort of just choking teams out in defence. But, well, Alex Good at 15, mate. He's so creative.
Yeah.
You've got Farrell and Good, you've got two ball players in your back line.
Yeah, you know, that's why they don't need Brad Barrett to be a ball player. He's just a mutant, and he's very good at it.
He got him and Marcel Bosch in the centre. Guys just make their tackles. They don't make mistakes. They get them over the gain line. You know, when it's on, they pass. But they've got so much creation. At wide. Billy Vinopola again.
Yeah.
He just looks so fit as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can look at him 2 or 3 years ago and he looks quite heavy, but now he looks athletic.
Yeah. Did you see the videos from after the game of Baz Barrington, the prop, leading the sing-song?
Yeah, brilliant.
Great boy. Member of a darts league, you know?
So someone had gone to the trouble of cutting 5 or 6 songs they all sing to into a little compilation, and they're all singing there. Ashton was one of my favourites.
Yeah. Ashton's off to Toulon, plenty of cash or whatever it was.
He's a cheeky so-and-so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Mauro Itoudi. Oh, so he comes good. And he does the robot and stuff like that. Yeah, it looks they look like they've got, I know a lot of teams will say this, they've got a great team atmosphere and they real bond well, but them and Exeter, Saracens and Exeter, really do seem like those types of clubs that it's just a great environment. They've created an unbelievable environment.
But there's no secrets. There is no secret. What they do is treat everybody really, really well and fairly.
Yeah.
That's it. So when the lads at Sarri said, is there any chance of having a creche for the players, for our kids on match day so our wives can watch the game? Yeah, of course there is. And it's not cheap. But in the grand scheme of things, when you're doing 7-8 million quid a year on wages, it's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we'll do that. And they said, actually, can we have a creche a bit earlier so we can bring the kids in ourselves and our wives can get ready in peace, that have to get 2 or 3 kids ready and get to the game. And yeah, of course we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, have them early. So all the players arrive with their kids now. So my wife would love to get ready in peace for rugby matches. It never happened. It was carnage. She got there 20 minutes in, never saw the game because Bath would never pay for it. We used to say for years, can we have a creche? We'll chip in. No, we're health and safety. You've got to have too many. No, we can't because you've got to have too many nursery nurses. It's got to be one nurse to 4 kids. It's like, oh, for Christ's sake, tight arses. Sarri's and Chiefs just do things properly. It's so easy.
Do you think Sarri's has potential of a hangover for this Exeter game?
Physically, yes. Like in terms of booze and blood, you know, blood alcohol levels. Yeah,
it'd be hard not to celebrate a European.
I don't think they pretend Champions otherwise. Cup final. I think they go out and get smashed.
Yeah,
I love it. Do you hear Billy's interview after the game?
Thanking God first.
Thank God. Yeah, but he's like, I'd like to thank God for playing so well or whatever. I'd like to apologise to him in advance because we're going to get real drunk. I love that.
Well, yeah, get the positive out first, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. I love that.
Again, honest.
But then Marrow comes on, who's the pearl, you know, the golden goose. Mm. And he just, you know, people hang off what he says now because his agents are playing a pretty tough game. And you don't see a huge amount of Marrow, even though he's in demand. And he said, probably celebrate this tonight and maybe tomorrow too. You know, I love that.
Do you know what I think's been really unlucky, potentially with a Lions call-up, is Richard Wigglesworth.
Yeah.
Nine.
Yeah.
He plays so well for Saios all the time. His box kicking is immaculate. His game management is brilliant.
Mm. I think if you need that game, if you need to change the game you're playing on tour, there's no one better in the British Isles than him at changing the game from, you know, the... Or, you know, what you'd think of like the Reese Webb or the Conor Murray, who actually just basically could tear you apart at the breakdown. Wiggy might not do that, but he will repeatedly put you in great positions.
He won't be an actual threat himself. Often. But he will create holes for other people because he's such a skillful player.
He's made a few breaks and half breaks recently, and I think that's because people just don't expect him to try. Like when we had Chris Malone at Bath, when Molly Malone is years back.
Alf.
Slower than me, and he was Alf Stewart.
That's it, Alf Stewart.
Alf Stewart from Home and Away, but he used to make breaks because...
Was it Donald Fisher?
No, it was Alf Stewart, but people never expected him to try because he was a milk float, but he'd make loads of breaks because, you know, they expected him to stand and deliver or kick it. Mm. But it was... Our Saris were fantastic. I really...
Worthy winners.
Oh, they were great. They were great. Really enjoyed that.
Now, just before we get to the question time, I actually forgot to mention... I've seen you in the Bath Chronicle as being in the top 50 most influential people in Bath. Number 27, to be precise.
What a joke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you, what do you do, mate? I mean, apart from like...
I write a column in Bath Life magazine every fortnight.
Apart from take your dogs out and rollerblades. Caesar Milan. Go below 90 and squatting.
It's a joke.
Go below
90
squatting in CrossFit.
Yeah, it's clearly a joke. But so it's just a joke, and people just vote for their favourite people. So it basically, I find it like it's fun.
Are you a Bath icon?
No.
Do you walk around Bath and people stop you and like want selfies and stuff like that?
No.
Okay.
So, Pete, it's a bit of fun and it's a bit of a laugh from the crowd, and I actually think it's quite a funny idea because it's got everyone talking and they did a good job, but. And obviously there are loads of people missing that should be on it, loads of people on it like me and like Amy Williams and stuff who shouldn't be on it because we've got no influence in Bath at all, we don't do anything. And both got similar physiques, both very lean and athletic, but yeah, so we shouldn't have been on it, but that's all good fun. But and lots of very, very important people weren't on it, but that doesn't really matter because it's a bit of fun, but it's also an opportunity for people to do a bit of virtue signalling and make sure that they vote positively for everyone who works for like charities or Forgotten Arts or something.
And so it's that's like, your angle?
No. Lots. No.
Okay.
No, it's not. But I did have a bet with a guy who's also on the list. I was out for dinner the other night, and believe it or not, I hadn't heard about this thing yet. It was like Thursday night or something, whatever it was, last week. And we're at a little restaurant in Bath called Corkage, which I wholly, wholly recommend. Never been there before. Loved it so much. I saw my mates I went with the day after, and said, "God, I hope that place stays open." And he said, "Well, if you want it to stay open, book a table and go back." I said, "Yeah, good point." So we're going there next Saturday. It's brilliant. Anyway, I was at dinner with this guy, and his name's Bill Vasiliev, and he is the CEO of Novia, who sponsored for years, were on the front of the Bath Rugby Show.
I've met Bill before. He's a Scot.
Yeah, you can't understand a word he says. Good fella. And he was showing off about, he's got a load of money, and he was showing off about this new top-of-the-range motorbike he'd got. And I said, "Well, it's funny you say that, Bill, because I've just booked my motorbike test in. And I'm thinking about, I probably won't get one, I'll just get the test. As long as I know I can, that's enough for me." And he was like, "Oh, you couldn't handle my bike, you couldn't handle it, it's too big for you." And he's like half my size.
Is he Taggart?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Taggart, it's been a murder.
Yeah.
So I'm there with Bill, and I was like, we're all a bit pissed at dinner, we're really pissed at dinner. And I was like, right, he's like 55 or something, you know. So, and I said, right, here's the deal. If I finish higher than you in Bath's most influential 50 top people, whatever it is, this joke list, bear in mind, he's CEO of one of the biggest companies in Bath, right? He's big player. And he brought this company to Bath from, he could have gone anywhere. He brought it to Bath, brought 150 staff. They're still going. They're getting bigger every year. Like, he is properly influential. And I don't do anything except have the odd sandwich and cappuccino, right? So I said, if I finish above you and you only vote for yourself once, we tried that, then I get your motorbike. He's like, what? I said, just give me your motorbike. You can buy a new one, but you're showing off about it and you're saying you're confident you're going to be in the top 10. I'll get your bike. And I won't do any tweets to asking people to vote for me. I won't do anything like that. I will just see who wins. So if I win...
Apart from those T-shirts you got printed.
Apart from the tattoo, I'm for it. So I was like, I win, I'll get your bike.
Doing a site on BT Sport, call me.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, but I said, if you finish above me, what do I have to do for you? What do you get? And he said, you pay for you and me, no one else, just you and me to go for dinner, at dinner and wine at any restaurant I want. And I was like, that could be really dangerous. But his bike was worth a lot of money. And I was like, and no one, like, I was just thought, well, I'm drunk, I'll just say yes. So I said, go on then. As he shook my hand, and he said, my favourite restaurant's in Sydney, only fly business class. I was like, oh no. And I properly, my arse went a little bit. And everyone was like, oh, he's bet now, he's had a bet. And I was like, okay, well, we've done it now. And I'm thinking, if I lose, I'm not going to be able to cover that. So I'll have to sell something. But I will find a way to honour that. But I reckon I'll beat him. The next morning, all the emails are going around saying, thanks for dinner, great night. And he just replies, can't believe Flats bottled our bet. The bike's too big for him, what a loser. I said, hey, I didn't bottle any bet, mate. I'm ready to go, I'm still on it. Oh, you pulled out. I can't believe you pulled out last night. So I'm like, guys, does anybody else remember me pulling out last night? No. It's like, Bill, you're just shitting yourself, mate. You're going to lose. And he's bottled it, called it me bottling it, and he's lost. So I know he listens to this podcast, so I'm calling it in. I'm going to come and fill him in because he's an old man. I'm going to take his bike because he owes it to me, and I'm going to sell it for charity anyway.
Okay. Done?
Yeah, I'm done.
I enjoyed every month of that, mate.
Wait, we have some respect for the 27th most influential person in
true,
Bulgaria.
True, true. Right, question time.
In front of James Dyson. What a joke. Yeah.
Yeah, question time. Right. Actually, first off, we had a tweet from a guy called Roger Jones we met earlier.
Oh, yeah. Met him upstairs in the Grinnell suite.
What did he do, quickly?
He worked the community stuff, so went around schools. Kids who are thinking about dropping out of school, he helped them.
Yeah, so he said, did not expect to meet Flats and Shanks this morning while walking through the stadium. Sorry, JP, didn't mention you. Can't wait for the podcast.
You met Phil Bennett as well. That's better than us.
Benny's not on Tinder.
Grindr. Sorry.
Twitter. You got any questions from your...
This is from a man called Tim Ducks.
Duxie,
who was my school rugby captain at Dulwich College. Undefeated. I don't think Duxie lost a game in 10 years at that school. He lives in Miami now. Hell of a boy.
He used to have really good arms, didn't he? Like short little arms.
Great Nick.
Yeah.
Great Nick. Yeah. Yeah.
Ferrari chassis.
Yeah. Hi, boys. Love the podcast. You're actually really funny, I think. So I think that's being facetious. Flats, how can we recreate our schoolboy team aura in real life? Especially as nothing beats Dulwich under-18s.
You used to have a little song, didn't you?
Lads,
Dulwich.
He's true blue. He's a piss head through and through.
He's a bastard,
so they say. Try to go to heaven, but he went the other way. He went down.
Rupert, down.
Hugo, down, boy. How dare you?
Giles.
How dare you, Felix? So how can we recreate that in real life? Do you know what I think, Duxie, and to everyone? I think, as I've said before on this pod, find a way, start a competition, clear it with Sarri, start a competition to spend a day at Sarri's on a full day's training, rig it so that you win. Go and spend a day there. That is how you create team spirit. All go to Chiefs. Sarri's, for me, have got it absolutely nailed. They train hard. They're intense. They're super, super relaxed, respectful, nice, fun. They get it right. So Sarri's are the new Dulwich College. They copied us, Duxie boy.
Yeah. There's actually a question here from Ben Parker on Twitter. And it says, should Warbs be rested for the Blues Euro playoff? So... the Blues have got Stade Français in a chance to try and make their Champions Cup. Warby's sort of on the cusp of being fit. Now, if you were Sam Warburton, would you play?
Now, JP's dropped out the chat a little bit because it was kind of just sitting here to listen to the last bit after the catch-up. But JP, you've got an opinion on this because you're shaking your head and you're Welsh.
Well, he's not going to play, is he? They've said he's not going to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that Shanks not doing his prep again?
I can't say that.
Such a shame.
But I can give you an answer.
Yeah.
Are the Blues going to win that game?
Possibly not.
No.
Do you need him for a Lions tour?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yes.
that's my decision.
What if you were Sam as well, would you want to potentially risk being injured in the game?
I would say I want to play, and then I'd ring Gats and say, ring him and tell him you won't let me.
Yeah, perfect. I really want to play, but my hamstring's a bit tight.
Do you know what? I don't know Sam well enough, but someone like Dan Cole, who I saw yesterday at Leicester, you know, is there any chance of him not playing in a Premiership semi-final because of the Lions? It wouldn't cross his mind. He'd almost, I reckon, rather play for Tigers than the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's like Alan Jones with the Ospreys as well. With
yeah.
Ospreys.
And he will play.
He will play, yeah.
And that is so often how you get so far in the game, I think.
Flatso, I've got a really good question here from Daniel Kerr on Twitter. He says...
Daniel Kerr?
Kerr.
Is that Wayne's son?
Stop it. Shag son.
Is his mum called Anne?
Right, he wants to know.
What was his name again? We've forgotten.
Mr. Cure, we call him. Yeah.
Mr. Cure.
Yeah. He wants to know who wins in a fight between Backes Botha and Danny Grucock.
Backes Botha and Danny Grucock. I'm biased, but Backes Botha is hard as nails and mean and uncompromising. But Danny is all those things, and he's got proper fighting technique. So he's a black belt in karate when he was younger. I don't know if that means too much, but I just know that he is a... Backes Botha is more likely to smash you with an elbow, chin you once, drop a knee, put a massive hit in. Danny will stand in front of 50,000 people and box you.
I would say it's more like MMA versus karate, something like that.
I would say it's...
Some more aggressive form. MMA.
I would say it's really hard bloke at the pub versus an actual boxer. You can't get anywhere near him.
Reckon you could ever sort a white collar out between those two?
Dan would do it, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I would do it. I'm not scared of anything.
Yeah. Do you think, in credit, in his favour once, when I had Danny Grucock signed up, might have said this before on the pod, Danny Grucock signed up for my testimonial boxing dinner.
Doesn't matter, mate. All the Danny Grucock stories are golden.
Yeah, they're all golden. And I could not find anyone to fight him. In the end, Justin Harrison, who's hard as nails, like, I'll do it. Is it charity? I'll do it.
Yeah.
What have I signed up for? But the one person who called me, I called. That's not true. I called about boxing. Mark Robinson, the All Black scrum half.
Yeah.
Said I'd rather fight Danny Grucock. Was Josh Lucy. Noxie thinks Danny's soft. He's like, I'd rather test myself. I'll fight Dan, please. And we couldn't do it because of the size.
I would. I'd definitely do that.
Fight Dan. All right. Yeah. Cool. I'll sort it out.
Yeah.
Good idea, mate. Shanks, here's one
for on a suitable day. Obviously, that we can both do.
Yeah, Christmas Day when he's on holiday. Connor Thompson on email has asked, he's asked me a question, but first I'll ask you a question, Shanks. The best centre you ever played against?
Okay.
Why?
We've probably done this before.
Yeah, but let's do it again, because you know what I mean?
I say when I was really young, just working my way through the Saracens, just trying to get into the Saracens team regularly, really. I remember playing against Newcastle, and Inga Twigamala was playing centre for Newcastle.
Oh, we have done this before.
Just
yeah.
caused... So yeah. much carnage. He was such an unbelievable... He was like one of these players that I think were ahead of their time in terms of size and stuff. And I used to be a fairly large centre-back when I was playing. You know, I was like 15 and a half, 16 stone. That's sort of straight across the board now. You know, that's like the average size. But Inga was really good. And then Brian O'Driscoll. Not just because he listens to this and we want to get him to do a BBC interview, but because he genuinely was.
Amazing.
Full package, you know. Great vision, great passer, pace, great step, strong, good tackler, good over the ball, the complete package.
Yeah.
I did him on height, easy.
Yeah, can scrummage, could he?
And showers.
Connor's asked for me who the best prop I played with and against. Against, we've done that. Visagi, Julian White. To play with would be Julian White. Just what you want from a prop when you're another prop, you want someone to be reliable. And I knew that Whitey, when he got twisted into a horrible position, which didn't happen that often because he was stronger than pretty much every other prop in the world, which is quite something to say. But he went down to Marseille once and played against the front row, Jean-Jacques Krenka and Ibanez, and they were just a monstrous front row. And Whitey and Danny Grucock behind him, they gave Krenka a proper workout, and they were the best front row in the world at that point. Whitey was the real deal, freakishly strong. But to play with, I just knew that if I was struggling against my guy, Julian, I would say the word to Julian and I'd say, you need to get your guy going back, because then I can scoot through, I can pull underneath.
Was there a word that you'd say, like, Copenhagen?
No,
that'd
be like,
that's my safe word at home.
I used to be like this.
For theme night.
I used to be like, Jules! Jules! And you just hear this, just these massive high-cut boots with steel toe caps. I used to just look across, honestly, look across on the floor and see those feet moving. And yeah. It was just like heaven, because when we were playing against Gloucester once, and you know, I'd having a bit of a to and fro with Phil Vickery, and he got in a great position a couple of times, and we had to move him on their line. We had to move him, and I couldn't move him, and it was just, he couldn't move me, I couldn't move him, and I had to move forward for the move we were doing, and I said to Whitey, "You take it forward," which is against the rules because you don't want the scrum spinning right. I said, "You get it moving for me, and I'll rip through after that." So he literally pulled me and George Shooter through the scrum, and we end up spinning the left shoulder up through the right shoulder being dominant. He was just freaky, so strong.
Same example as you gave the first time.
So aggressive.
There's a question from
Jay. Stick up your ass, yeah?
Here's one from JW on Twitter. Why isn't Jackson Ray been given a shot with England? He's keeping Scott Berger.
Well, he's funny looking fella, isn't he? Maybe that's it. Well, Scott Berger wouldn't get in the England team.
Yeah,
Scott Berger's fab. I love Scott Berger. It's irrelevant.
He's keeping him out of the Saturdays team.
He's keeping a former international out of the club team. So, I mean, he's a wonderful, wonderful player, Berger. But I'm not being disrespectful. I love him. But, you know what I'm saying. He's not keeping Francois Lowe out of the Bath team.
Another question on props, mate. James Owen on Twitter wants to know, what are your thoughts on the French playing roll on, roll off with props? Is there anything the authorities can do? So that's the Slimani.
Yeah, eventually, I wouldn't be surprised in the off-season if they try and clamp down on that and have independent people assessing them when they come off.
Yeah.
Finding out exactly what the injury is, documenting that via the team manager and the fourth official and all that sort of stuff. They are clearly cheating, and they're getting Slimani, who's the best scrummager, get him on and give him 20 minutes off and then get him back on for the finish, the big finish. And it's a load of balls, but if you give professional teams laws, they will find ways to push them to the end degree. That is why they are there. So I'm not excusing it, I'm just saying that is what happened.
Can I just say, Theresa May recently in an interview was asked whether she liked you or heels, you know, as...
Yeah.
And she said she prefers flats during...
Flats every time.
Flats during election.
Yeah.
I think it says election. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Well, I'm easier to...
So it was an R then.
I'm easier to... Yeah. I see what you've done there, flats.
Yeah, someone put that on Twitter.
Here's one. Here's a really interesting one, actually.
That was Eddie Brown on Twitter.
It's a question for JP. It's coming as we've been on air.
Okay.
It's from Little Vinny on email. And it's, JP, if forced into a decision, what would you rather, crab claws for hands and normal feet, or ice skates for feet and normal hands?
Good question.
Fascinating.
Good question. You need your hands, because you can do a lot with hands.
Mm.
So I'm going to go ice skates for feet.
Yeah.
Because I've got good balance. And then I'd still have my hands for everything else.
Yeah. I'm thinking I can have normal feet, and I can still drive a rangy whip with crab claws.
So I'm thinking. Couldn't you?
Yeah, of course could.
I've got one question for you, just before we get off air. Do you think Abedinon and Strel should be in the England squad? Playing well.
First of all, before I answer this, can we not have anyone tweeting or emailing or text, Facebooking or whatever it is in
FaceTiming,
saying, "I've got no sympathy for them. They knew where they were going." Kindly piss off. But they're not asking for any sympathy. I get so bored. I had about 40 people tweet me at the weekend when I said Bendy was great. He knew what he was doing. I've got no sympathy for him. So I'm like, he's not asking for any.
No, you're not. You're just saying he played well.
Yeah, it's like, bore off, mate. Have a day off.
But should they be in?
I think.
Are they better players?
I think Strettle is a fab finisher, but I think Nick Abedinon overall ball in hand is a class above. I think Nick Abedinon should be in the England team.
You rate him highly, don't you? You reckon he's one of the best players you've played with.
Everyone who's played with him says the same. I haven't found anyone who played with him that doesn't rate him as one of the best players I've ever played with. I would rate him as good as Shanklin, Horan, you know, Castagnard. He's that good, and he is.
It's interesting that, because you obviously played with him for such a long time.
Absolutely astonishing rugby player. And goes to Clermont and he's Player of the Year over there. And he's European Player of the Year.
And he's playing on the wing at the moment as well. Yeah, predominantly he's 15.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh wow, someone tweeted me, in fairness, Flats, he has really improved since he went over there. I said, no, he hasn't. Stop saying that. And as a journalist this season said that earlier in the season. he's got a lot better in France. No, he hasn't. He was this good when he was here. All you saw was the missed tackle he made once every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
He is a fantastic player, and he made a try-saving tackle at the weekend. He's unbelievably brave. He's not perfect. For me, that is a 50-cap international if he's from a different country. He's that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he was French, he'd have 50 caps. All Blacks, he'd have a load of caps. He's brilliant.
Scottish, 200.
Scottish, he'd have 6,000 caps.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be king.
Yeah.
He'd be king. He'd own Scotland. They'd have given him Scotland.
He'd be Braveheart, wouldn't he?
He'd be Donald Trump. He'd be Braveheart.
Yeah. Freedom. Right. We said we're going to do a short podcast, but we're over the hour mark already.
Thanks, JP.
Yeah, well done, mate.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for causing it to be such a long podcast.
Yeah. Should we just stop now?
Yeah, we'll be back next week. We're not sure what we're doing yet through the Lions tour, are we? We could do a fortnightly one, possibly.
We're a bit like Drogba, mate. We do what we want.
Yeah. He does what he wants.
Bye.
Bye.